Welcome to Strip Down Live, the sex and adult service industry podcast brought to you by the people who live it every day. Cutting through the preconceived ideas to show the realities of the industry and discover new ways to make it better, safer, and more fully understood. Needless to say, this show is not for kids. Now that the warning is out of the way, here's your host, Jim Spencer.
Welcome to Strip Down Life. I'm your host, Jim Spencer. I apologize for episode 4 being a week late. There was a valid reason for that. We're going to carry on and get moving. You'll find the reason out later on in the episode when I explain it to Kellen. So here we go. All right. I'm here with Kellen Brent Pierce. Started working with Kellen about 6 years ago. He's done security and DJing in the clubs. He's currently doing bartending and security and apparently a faux dive bar. Originally, I had two people in mind to do co-host of the show. Kellen was one of them, but due to crazy scheduling, there was no way that I could get guests and a co-host to meet up at the same time. So that kind of fell through. We're still working on that one. Welcome, Kellen.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back on the east side.
Yeah, you haven't been around for a while.
No, man. I was living in Beaverton for a minute, and then I just moved back into Northwest, but... I spent like a decade on the east side. Yeah. This is the Portland I feel like I belong in.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to move to any other part of town.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so used to this brand of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's, yeah. You get like, accustomed to it, and then you move to something else. You're like, wait a minute. This is a different strain than I'm used to.
Yeah. South Tabor Mall 205. I was getting nostalgic on the way over here. Like... driving through, I'm like, man, I should walk the streets before I leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Little things that you don't even realize, like the little Euro place that's in Mall 205 that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Same family's run it for 15 years, and it's one of the only things in Mall 205 that hasn't turned into a graveyard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the dead mall thing. Yeah. Dude, there was a sushi bar called Umanoki that was like my first sushi experience.
It's still there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Mr. Lee runs that.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Same like husband and wife, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah. Dude, that guy's, I went in there a couple years ago and he still recognized me from like 10 years before.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your family, how are they?
I'm yeah.
like, fuck, dude.
He's so great.
You're the best.
We go in with the kids and candy and like every time it's big old wave, welcome us in.
Really?
And that's the kind of thing that I love about, I mean, we're in a big city.
Yeah.
You go in, you get recognized, you know, in little places, and that's Southeast. So,
awesome.
So last week I made a decision that I was going to try and live stream an episode, and I was ill prepared, and it came out kind of shitty.
Yeah,
not kind of shitty, mostly shitty. There were a few funny things in it, but
oh yeah, unedited content.
Yeah,
that's my
I had 8 minutes or I had 8 pages written down of things I was going to talk about in regards to relationships in the industry and romance and all that. That wound up being about 9.5 minutes of actual time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what the fuck? What do I do now?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody, and there were like 5 people on,
yeah.
you know, watching the live stream, and right. they were all buddies of mine. So they're not helping me at all. They're just talking bullshit back and forth. I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe this, I'm just going to get drunk and leave this recording. We'll see what happens.
Dude, any content that I put out has been heavily edited. Like, that's where the magic is. That's where I tighten it up. Like, I've done hours, like 1 hour podcast, and whittled it down to 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And had friends be like, "Dude, this is magic." And I'm like, "Yeah, what you see."
Right.
Yeah. I skim the cream off the top.
You didn't see the beginning of this,
right?
All the way through relationships and romance in the industry. I'm gonna go ahead and redo that subject kind of with you. Because you and I have both had experience in this department, and I know for fact you have.
Yeah, it's what broke me.
Yeah. You know, it happens. But, you know, there's certain benefits to being in a relationship inside the industry that you work in. The people you're with know you're just doing a job, you know?
Right.
They also know that word travels fast in the industry, and if you do something wrong, they'll know about it probably within minutes.
Right.
You know, strippers talk, bouncers talk, DJs talk.
Yeah.
You can't get away with anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, the problems that come up with it, you know, I mean, there's always going to be jealousy issues in relationships, and there's always going to be, you know, that give and take that you have to have. You have to have a huge amount of trust to have a relationship that lasts any period of time in the industry. But what are some of the problems that you think arise from interpersonal relationships inside of our industry?
You know, it's I dated a civilian while I was working, you know, and she came in one night and was just so like immediately started like tearing down every girl that walked by, every half naked girl that walked by. And I knew it wasn't pettiness. It was just, she was just so insecure about it because she realized it got real when she walked in and realized I was, you know, surrounded by naked women all the time. But she didn't have the wherewithal, I guess, or the experience to realize, no, this is a grind. This is the same grind.
It's,
these girls might as well be wearing like blue aprons.
Yeah.
You know, like we could be at Walmart or we could be at Target or like Red Vest or something. It's just a job. And we're all, you know, they're coming up to me and bitching about their boyfriend or just talking about like, oh my God, my dog did this funny thing today. And like, that's the conversation we're having. Or even if it's like, you know, you crack a joke, you could be like, damn girl, that booty. But you might as well be saying that to like a homie in like at work.
Absolutely.
Like,
slapping their ass. Good game.
Good game. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was the biggest problem. Dating a civilian, I think, was way more jealousy than dating a girl, a dancer.
They don't realize that you get numb to that. You know, the first time that you work with a girl, you might look over and be like, wow, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it goes. And then after that, it's just like, you're just a tip out.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, dollar sign. Yeah. Like
Which is funny,
because that's it. Finally, you get to see it the way they have seen you for years.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Right. The sexuality's taken out of it. And you're like, okay, you know, you're a decent human being and I'll chat with you and I'll whatever.
Right.
But in the end, we're all here to make money.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to mention, balls, for lack of a better word. It takes a certain amount of balls to get naked in front of strangers.
Yeah.
Which leads dancers to be a typically different kind of person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of person where I'm like, fuck, dude, I can get real with these people. You know what I mean? Like, I'd never have the balls to do that. No fucking way. No. Even, like, I mean, everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
But like, it takes a caliber of person that you shed so much of that everyday insecurity and that everyday bullshit.
Yeah.
And you get down to like the meat and potatoes of a person real quick.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with the constantly like the sexually charged atmosphere, yes, there are naked women walking around, you know, it leads our senses of humor, I think, to a dark place. Like we'll crack jokes that are way like any other work environment, sexual harassment lawsuit.
Right.
Instantly.
Yep.
But we can crack those jokes with them and they understand we're not really that person.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have the thicker skin where they're just not offended by it.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Well, and the other thing too is like I have owned strip club shirts, you know, where I'm like, there's no, I'm not wearing this anywhere unless I'm going to the strip club. You know what I mean? We're going to the club. Then dig out that shirt from underneath. Like, they'll get a kick out of this one. Not going to wear that on the street. But I'll wear it in the club because they get it.
Yeah, I don't even care. I wear my hoodie all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my job. I think the weirdest experience that I've had is, you know, taking the kids and going to like one of their friends' birthday parties. And I'm meeting the parents and they're like, well, what do you do?
Oh, yeah.
That's always an awkward question. You're like, how cool are they?
Yeah. You're about to find out.
Yeah. Are they suddenly going to dislike my kid because of what I do?
Right.
Or is this going to be cool?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm a DJ.
Right.
And you see them look at me funny and like, oh yeah, where do you work? Deviate. Where's that at? It's 50th and Powell, you know, big purple building. Is that a strip club? Yeah. They're like, oh. And there's two reactions. If I talk to the dad first.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, oh, I've been in there.
Yeah, yeah. Or just whispered.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that place.
If I talk to the mom first, it's like, and then they just wander off.
Right.
And go but find another parent to talk to. Well,
at least they have the decency to, like, save you the diatribe. You know what I mean? Like, the standard, like, oh, degrading against women, all you know, all that other stuff. Which is polite.
It's not degrading against women. That's the thing that most of these people don't understand.
Yeah.
It's empowering. Those women, they don't have to have a certain education level. Right. They don't have to have specialized degree if they're attractive. And in some clubs, that's not even necessary.
Right.
You know, and they're willing to do this job for a living. They can make decent money. And that, you know, they have all the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk into a club and people think, well, you know, the bouncer's the main guy or the bartender's the main guy.
Right.
The strippers have all the power. Yeah. If they go to the bouncer and they go, that guy was just a creepy asshole. The bouncer goes, okay, you're where I get tips from.
Yep.
So I'm going to take care of this for you.
Absolutely.
You know.
Never questioned it.
No.
You know, it was always like, right, what you said,
yep.
That flies. Let's deal with it. And it's funny because whenever I was working, I always felt like I was low-key riding the coattails. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally here. Like,
yeah.
Just straight clinging onto the back of this girl's G-string. Like,
right.
I'm getting paid too.
Yeah. You go ahead and do dances.
Yeah.
I know later on you're going to tip me. That's cool.
Exactly.
One of the things that specifically that I can talk to you about, and maybe not some other people, is issues when you work in the same club with the girl that you're with.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of person to date a stripper.
Right.
Just like it takes a special kind of person to date a DJ.
Yeah.
You know, you have to realize that when you're in the industry, you're working. When you go home, you're killing again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's an act, just like strippers do.
Right.
But when you're working with someone you're intimate with in the same building and you're doing your flirty shit over here to get tips out of strippers, and they're doing their flirty shit over here to get tips out of customers, you know, you have to be able to divide that and be like, okay, I'm not going to go over and punch that dude in the dick.
Like, yeah. You know, that never really was a problem for me because I'm sure it depends on the girl.
Yeah.
Girl I was dating was very, it was very clear that it's just business.
Yeah.
And even then, like,
she was a firecracker though.
Yeah. Dude. Oh my God. Shortly before we broke up, she had a fight with one of her best like coworker friends.
Yes. I do recall when she put her face into the wall.
Through the wall.
Yeah.
And even then, even though our relationship was in ashes, I was like, God, I love this girl. I saved that photo. I shared that to so many people. So you wouldn't believe what my ex-girlfriend just did.
Yeah.
Like, this is amazing. You could see the outline of that poor girl's face. You could see where her nose was.
Yeah.
In the wall.
Yeah, it was it.
I'm like, yeah. And that was what got her fired from that gig.
Yeah.
But what a way to go out, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And she was always a good girl. I liked her.
Yeah.
You know, she was fun to work with.
But on a, you know, when she was working, it was clear that, like, just because of the type of person she was, it was never jealousy on my side.
Right.
Because
she wouldn't clear. Put up with that shit.
Yeah, totally.
Like, she was not one of those girls.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it absolutely depends on the person, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's harder if a girl, because I've known women who, it's all about the attention. Like, that's what they thrive on,
mm-hmm.
whether they're working or not. And that is a mind fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not when it's attention and not necessarily your attention. If it's just attention at all, that you can't compete with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I was talking about it when I was doing the live broadcast that went to shit. You know, some guys will come in the club and they're looking for a girlfriend. Like, that's why they're there.
Definitely.
Yeah, the fucking Chads.
Yeah. Yep.
And they come in and I'm like, are you a fucking moron? Because here's what's going to happen. Okay. You come in all white knight and you throw around some cash and you get her attention. Maybe you get together.
Sure.
If you do, then she starts going back to work and you get jealous and you're like, I want you to stop dancing.
Yeah.
You're a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Because that's what she was doing when you got together. Like, you have no logic there. Second, if she does say, okay, then you're on the hook for somebody who makes more money than you.
Right.
And now you have to make up that gap.
Supplement it, yeah.
Yeah. And you have to provide the nonstop attention for this woman that she's been used to getting, like 10, 15 customers per day, either via text or in person, telling her how beautiful, how amazing, how wonderful she is.
Yeah.
With no negativity, and you have to pick up that slack, or she's going to be like, you don't love me.
Yeah. I think, well, more terrifying than that for me is like a girl who is independent and a girl who's grounded enough to where she's the source of her success and her income and wealth. If you try to fuck with that and make it on you, I mean, you're kind of responsible for everything you just described, you know, where it's like, okay, like say she was making 50 or 60,000, whether it's low or high.
Yeah.
What's she going to do now to make 60,000?
Right.
I know I haven't made that much yet and I went to school for it. You know yeah. what I mean? And like you're putting that burden on a girl who was doing just fucking fine without you
yeah.
before you. And like, you better have a dick made out of gold that shoots fucking Nutella. You yeah. know what I mean?
Wow.
If you're expecting to replace that.
That's the golden unicorn right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right? Oh God. Three wishes, Jeannie. You can have the other two. You don't hop a train and then try to dictate where the train goes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know where it's going beforehand.
Yeah, it's already on its course. Yeah.
And that's the older I get, the more I realize that about people is like, okay, like every person is an experience and strippers are no different.
No.
Dancers or whatever. If you hop on the experience or you agree to the experience, you're in like the orbit of a person, and whether or not you enjoy that, your only resort is to either stay in that orbit or go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
you can't change what you're orbiting. Like,
yeah.
Not without it wanting to.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, if you don't, if it doesn't jive with you anymore, then fucking go away. You yeah. know what I mean? And that's what I realized. And this relationship I had in the industry was kind of crucial to that. And none of this revelation came to me until like fell apart. You yeah. know what I mean? And
yeah.
like I had time to like, okay, where did I go wrong? This was, okay, so I did this and I did that. And then there was another part to that where I was like, I was alone. Like I had moved to a new city right as that relationship was falling apart and I didn't really have anybody. So man, you have like a farmer's amount of time to think.
Oh know? Yeah.
So I did a lot of thinking and a lot of these like adulting changes came as a result of like this, like everything I was comfortable with had been torn under.
Right.
You know, torn out from under me. So
that's how you grow though.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, absolutely. And I hadn't had an experience like that for like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'd been kind of coasting in this sort of juvenile mindset of what a relationship is until that. And God, dating a stripper is what it took to kind of yank me out, to kind of galvanize my feminism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I heard the word juvenile come out of your mouth. I remember the picture of Reverend Kellen with the the PBR box on his head is a
yeah. the Pope crown. Yeah, that was my business card for a minute. So on one side, it says Reverend Kellen Brent Pierce, and it's a photo of me performing a wedding for
right.
a couple who I just found out this weekend is getting divorced. God bless them. They tried, but it was me officiating a wedding. And then on the flip side, so on the front, Reverend Kellen Brent Pierce.
Yeah,
and then on the flip side, it said also available for parties.
Right.
Which was me wearing the Pope hat with the two cans of beer in my hand. And yeah, it was, that was like that's my like default photo. Anytime something happens where I'm like, oh, I got to make that my photo, I always revert back to the old one.
Yeah.
I got to have that etched on my grave, man. That would be the greatest tombstone. Also available for parties.
There you go. Yeah. You were in the industry for a little bit with me. We worked together as DJs.
Yeah.
Which means we never worked together because when I had a day off, you were working. And when you had a day off, I was working.
That was the B squad. Yeah. The relief pitcher.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was good times though.
Dude, it was a blast.
We worked well together.
One of the best jobs I ever had.
What's your most memorable story from working in the industry?
Oh God. Well, I started security. So I was working the door first.
Yeah.
And the ones I always tell people is when I got attacked, you know, which isn't just one time, it's several times, you know. There were a group of Russians who anytime Russians come into the building, you're like, all right, these guys are going to probably tip really well and then start some shit over nothing.
Yeah.
And we'll kick them out once that happens, but they'll come back and we'll let them in because they tip so well. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was a group. Young guys and old guys, they started some shit with a guy who looked at him funny. That was what they said. I can't remember his name. He rode a motorcycle. And they started shit, and I jumped out from behind the bar and was like, get the fuck out of here, and I pointed at the door. And I've never seen people turn on the staff like that. Now it was on with me because I was closer than that the first guy was. So they start, the old guys don't want to fight. They know better. The young guys are all for it. So they start swinging at me, but they're all drunk. So they're throwing these slow motion haymakers that you just telegraphing it. You can duck under them. So I'm ducking and weaving and I'm not punching back. I'm just shoving them away. The old guys are trying to break up the fight, but the only way they know how to do it is to hold my arms behind me. So they're like, no, no. And they're trying to pull me away, but all they're doing is holding my arms back. So I'm so still trying to duck. Yeah. So finally, the old guys leave. The three guys are still sticking around. So I'm like ducking, shoving them as they come at me. And finally, I get them out the door and I just lock the door. These assholes tip the dude's motorcycle over. And I don't even think they know it was his. They were just, there's a motorcycle, flip it over.
Yeah.
And then so we go out and we tip it back up. I feel sorry for the guy. I apologize. And so he leaves, rides his bike home, and they come back. And they're like, oh, I forgot my hat. And I'm like, yeah, oh, okay. But they have fistfuls of cash. And so they're like giving us money and like, oh, I just ordered my hat. And they tipped us out like probably 50 more bucks between me and the bartender. And we're like, all right, you got to fucking go away now.
Yeah.
That was one. Another time that there was a guy, a group had just come back from a wake. And I found that out later, but he was at the bar talking to, I don't know if we use names, but it was the dancer that used to have the twin mohawk. She was a sweetheart, Spitfire. But you remember
I think
I
know
about?
Who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so just a total fucking badass. Like, I don't know what he was thinking, talking shit to a girl who could eat him alive. But so I'm watching them talk, and I can kind of see the body language happening. And then out of nowhere, man, this drink is from the bar to his face. And I'm on it, man. I jump up and just Nelson him. And she's already throwing punches at this guy. And I pull him off his stool. And I'm like, hey, man, sorry, it's over. And I get him out the door and tell his group they got to go. And I walk outside. And he is coming back from his car as I'm talking to the rest of his group. And I can see this metal, like, something sticking out of his pocket. And I'm talking to his buddy. And his buddy points at the guy. And he's like, cousin, I love you. Take two steps to the right. I'm like, fuck that. That sounds like a line of sight. I'm like, no. And so I wrap the dude up and throw my arm around him. I'm like, you're staying in fucking front of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, pull that shit out of your pocket, man. And he pulls it out and it's a tire iron. Thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Because I thought he had a gun.
Yeah.
You know, those are the memorable ones. Yeah, I wish I had some like crazy story of like, you know, the girls I worked with were typically pretty well behaved. And, you know, I was kind of a flash in the pan as far as my strip club career goes. There was, yeah. And at Deviate, man, I think I was there for, God, 6, 7, 8 months as a DJ.
Which, you know, in strip club years.
Yeah. It's like dog years, right?
Yeah. That's like
seven and a half years,
right?
My problem was I was so, one, I loved this job more than anything I had ever had. Two, I was terrified I was going to get fired every day. So I was too eager to do anything.
Right.
So when this weird, hairy situation happened, if they would have come up to me and been like, we need a 6-foot-long hole somewhere there's not a lot of foot traffic, I'd have been like, how deep? Shallow grave? Am I right? You know what I mean? So I was too eager to, you know, just do
whatever needed to be
whatever,
done.
Whatever, yeah. And yeah. I didn't think about, okay, maybe walk the line on this one, you know, maybe
I don't want to be an accessory to murder.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It was just dealing with people who got too fucked up in a sloppy way where it was like, you know, all right, wait, walk the line on this. I was like, yeah, maybe.
Well, again, more growth, you know,
absolutely.
You live and learn.
And then when I took this job at this, this place I'm working at now, man, it is like no hands on like at all. I was a couple of Halloweens ago, I was dressed up as Captain Spaulding.
Yes, I saw the pictures.
From House of a Thousand Corpses. This dude came in, started shit, and I picked him up, like full Nelson him from behind, picked him up off his feet, waddled him out the door, which is on camera. Like, so there is a Captain Spaulding clown looking motherfucker carrying a dude out of the bar. And even that was too much. I'm like, I didn't hit him. I just physically escorted him out of the bar, set him down gently, gave him his stuff. I got pulled off the door.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, this is the kind of people I'm working with now. Northwest, just outside of the Pearl, a guy puked all over our bathroom. We kicked him out. walked him out the door. He turned around and started lecturing us because he felt disrespected. He felt disrespected.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, okay, well, I'll tell you what. You deal with your feelings. I'm going to go mop up your vomit. You tell me who should feel disrespected right now.
Right, right.
But, we had a fight breakout over the weekend, and I was asking the guy. I was like, what happened? Did you separate him? Did you back, or like, wrap him up? Why didn't you, stop this guy from swinging? He's like, well, we can't touch him. I'm like, dude, all right. Well,
yeah, that's a totally different.
Thank God I'm not at the door anymore, because that's not something I could.
Yeah.
I'm not going to abide that. I'll be like, sorry, it's been real. I'll take my check, but right. I'm not going to not touch somebody who's beating people up.
Yeah, no, I remember an incident at my bar back when I was doing security, and the bartender had gone to pull someone's beer because they were too intoxicated, and there was a little bit left in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And she walked over and she had a glass of water for him. She was going to swap them out so they could, sober up a little bit. And he got into an argument with her, and I'm heading that way. And as soon as he sees me coming, he hurls a pint glass at my head, which goes right over me. I get out of the way. It hits the brick wall behind me and shatters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, fuck it. Hands on.
Yeah.
I hook him up, and I don't want to take him all the way through the bar, so I take him to the back door over there by the DJ booth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I take him to that door, which just has the push bar.
Yeah.
Pop it open. So I used him to pop it open face first.
Nice.
It didn't open twice. but the third time it did actually pop open. And then I just shoved him onto the sidewalk on Powell.
Yeah.
I grab the door and I get ready to shut it. And he's like, I'm going to call my fucking lawyer. Okay.
Nobody who has a lawyer says they're going to call their lawyer. Their lawyer calls you.
I was like, you go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And I want to explain to you that what you just did is considered measure 11. You threw a pint glass at my face.
Yeah.
So when your lawyer talks to you, let him know that part.
Yeah.
And see what he has to say and be glad that I didn't call the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then I slammed the door and that was the end of that.
You were the one who, I had a guy who ripped one of our girls off. I think he took 10 dances or something in a row. And he was not a stranger to the clubs. You know how it works. You hear the song fade out. That's another $20. The meters are running.
Yeah.
You either, it's time to either go or to sign on for another 20. So he sits there for 10 songs. They come out. He's like, I thought we were just talking. Yeah, okay.
No, you're talking tables.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. When she's on your lap grinding to the song, you're not talking.
Right.
You might be talking. She's not listening. She's working. Earning. So he freaks out. Come to find out he's married to he's a gold digger married to some rich woman. No, actually divorced. And he got an alimony payment or settlement or something. Yeah, it was weird. So he was pulling this shit pathologically. And I think you came up and explained to him that was theft of service, which is actually illegal, which is something I'm glad that you had because I had no idea what that was.
Right.
I was just look, I was going for the fist slapping, strategy. You pay up or I fuck you up, man. It was calmer than that, but I was we ended up getting $180 out of him, and he was there's my last 20. Are you fucking happy? And turns out, I was really happy because that girl loved me for the rest of my career there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I went to bat with her.
Absolutely.
I really appreciated that you had the law down because otherwise I would have had some flimsy ground.
Absolutely. It's just, and a lot of times it's not even anything where you can call the cops right away or you don't want to.
Yeah.
You're working in a bar. The last thing you want is the cops posted up outside.
Yeah.
Your business is dead for the rest of the night.
Yep.
Absolutely. At least for the next hour while they're there, you've got nobody leaving and nobody coming in. And that's by their choice. They're like, fuck that. I'm not driving away past the cop car. I've had a couple of drinks.
Exactly. Yep.
But the threat of the police tends to motivate people.
Yeah.
And if you can back it up with, this is what law you broke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go to jail
for
this? Or would you rather take care of it or just get the fuck out?
Paint the scenario.
You reach up and you stick your finger in a girl while she's giving you a private dance, that's sexual assault.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. It's, like, it's not that kind of job.
Measure 11 too, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
You know, so there's some actual jail time that can happen with that. Was it worth it? Probably not.
No, of course not. Jesus. I don't want to call it the illusion because we will call the cops, but the idea that the police are coming is really powerful for most people.
Yeah.
And not when you have a cell phone. I've noticed the thing that's most effective is when you pull that janky old wireless phone off the little stand it's in. The bar phone. Calling the cops! That's usually fucking Splitsville for most people. Yeah. Now, if they stick around beyond that, I always tell them, like, look, man, if I have to call the police, I'm not going to waste their time. I'm going to hold you down until they get here.
Yeah, like, we have cuffs behind the bar.
Yeah.
Just for that purpose. Like, if we...
See, that's what I miss, man. I miss working at a place that doesn't fuck around.
Yeah.
Because when situations like that happen, part of it's that we're dealing with yuppies who have never been talked down to, but they've never come up against an authority figure. You know what I mean?
They've gotten the participation. They've never gotten trophies checked, for everything.
Yeah, or regulated.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, they look at you like you're the help. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I miss about the club is like they look at you like you can help them.
Right.
You know, they're in your house and they know it. And that's the one thing, like working at a gentleman's club, is I've dealt with a lot more gentlemen at that place than I have at a typical bar.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to discuss with you is, you know, the difference in working in strip club and working a normal bar.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, they're worlds apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, your clientele is completely different. And working in a strip club, you know that, dude, I will take a middle-aged group bachelor party male 100 times over a middle-aged group of females, bachelorette party in a strip club.
Yep.
They're going to be the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't exactly just choke them out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I don't even know if I want to live in that world where you could.
You know,
that seems like some Mad Max scenario.
They're going to be the loudest.
Yeah.
They're going to be the most touchy.
Yep.
They're going to be the worst tippers.
Yeah.
And they're just generally going to be a pain in the ass until they get done and all the Beckys move on.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, dude. That is one thing. You don't get very many bachelorette parties or bachelor parties in a regular bar.
Yeah.
Which is something I don't miss at all. We do get wedding parties because we're near a venue. So they shut down at midnight and they send them all to us. And they're already shit-faced, but they have so much money to spend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, all right, we're cleaning up puke, but we're going to break, like, records tonight.
Yeah.
So let's do this. But that's one thing I absolutely don't miss. Nobody really talks about how sexually aggressive women can be in strip clubs because we've kind of reinforced the idea that the rules don't apply to you. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying like society, but I mean like definitely not most women, but there are a lot of women who believe that, you know, who have had that idea reinforced.
I have the same plumbing. I can do what I want.
Yeah. I don't get hit. I don't get hit. Like that's a bad thing. No, that's absolutely fine. But there's a different set of rules where it's like, you know, I can say what I want because those rules don't apply.
Right.
I can behave how I want because those rules don't apply. And it's like, and that is a fraction of women, but it's kind of that mob mentality takes over in a bachelorette party where it's like, dude, they're all kind of reinforcing each other right now. And that is a fucking mess. Oh, I don't tip because I'm not used to paying for drinks. Why am I paying for drinks? You know what I mean?
Like, right.
And it's, and I'm mostly... I mean, if you boil it down, I'm probably just mostly jealous of that.
The ability to be a complete and utter bitch.
Parent trap me for one, or wait, is it parent trap? Freaky Friday. Yeah, me just for one weekend so I can be a bachelorette and I will give it back to you and live the rest of my life a satisfied person. I confuse my Lindsay Lohan movies.
That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah.
So, and this is kind of off topic from our industry, well, from the strip club industry, but I know you heavily involved in music.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the difference in the way Portland has been treating strip clubs versus how recently they've been treating live music venues?
Do you mean the city of Portland?
The city of Portland in general, because live music venues are becoming a thing that don't exist anymore in Portland. Like they take any excuse that they can to shut them down, change them to a happy little
ice set cream
of
shop.
Apartments.
I think part of it is you got a lot of assholes who are moving up, paying cash for housing, don't give a fuck that there's a venue nearby, and then start complaining about the venue.
Yeah.
The No kind of were the chefs of their own stew, I feel like. They moved into a already heavily gentrified neighborhood, and then as a grungy scumfuck punk venue, which God bless them, but you can't do that and expect to stay long. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's kind of just what's going to happen. And fortunate for them, they found another location in what you could say is another heavily gentrifying neighborhood, the Hollywood District, which, you know, and long live the No. I hope they stick around.
Yeah.
The other part is, I think Portland specifically is has a unique problem. They have a lot of really cool neighborhoods. So where you used to have centrally located venues downtown, you know, there's a lot of venues that have shuttered because nobody goes downtown anymore. They don't need to.
Right.
If you live in North Portland or you live in Southeast or you live in, you know, near Tabor or you live in Northwest or you live in Montevilla even, like, you've got a venue, six bars, a movie theater, and some other funky boutique shit in your neighborhood.
Right.
You don't need to go anywhere. You've got it all there. So I think it's kind of evolving into like this borough-style communities.
Where Portland is just a gathering of a bunch of small towns.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You know,
which is kind of, I feel like it always has been, but it's, you know, it's evolving into its into this just pockets of like really cool shit. And if you live there, I mean, you want to take an Uber 20 minutes away to go drink at some other bar where you don't know anybody?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's these little micro communities. And I think the venues, the woe is me for me comes when it's like live music is turning from guitars and stringed instruments into
DJs.
Yeah. Guys who push play and twist knobs. I'm just like, dude, oh, that's the worst part of it for me.
And don't get me wrong. There's an amount of skill that they have to
production
do that.
Skill. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's not the same level of skill that it takes to play a musical instrument.
Right.
And practice and practice and practice.
Yeah. And you know, guys who can replicate that live, I think DJ Shadow plays live and he like actually like programs his drums and does all that stuff live. But the play pushers, the guys who are like, I came up with this really great production. Now I'm going to play it for you.
Yeah, they recorded their set, you know, 3 months earlier.
They have
it set up, and then they just hit play and then bounce. You know, however
long. It's like, I'm sure the drugs are really good, guys, but, like, fuck, can't we just smoke a joint and listen to somebody that's really fucking good on guitar?
Yeah. You know?
But that's just me being an old fucking fart, dude. I realize I'm getting old when I think I looked up some actress. And I was like, I said out loud, like, damn, she's only 43. I'm like, what? That's, I'm old, man. And it didn't really come home until I was like, oh, 43 is only like 9 years away. Like, that's not even, that's my ballpark now.
That's next year for me.
Yeah.
See, so, that's, I mean.
But goddamn, dude, I would never go back. I feel like my brain, you know, they say like your brain stops forming in like your late 20s. I feel like mine finally stopped forming when I was like 32.
Yeah.
But God bless it. I don't miss being like, I was existentially lost for all of my 20s.
Right.
And all I did to cover that up was just party all the goddamn time.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing to show for it. So when you say I'm heavily involved in music, like, yeah, but I would love to have some output. I've never recorded a full song. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or I have, but nobody's ever going to hear that shit. It's awful. But just in the last couple of years, I had to reset my brain and be like, all right, what did I love to do before I was chasing skirt and getting blackout drunk every night? You know, before all that was a factor, like, what was I doing? And I realized I was like recording four tracks in my bedroom, you know?
Right.
I was like, that really brought me this like really deep sort of satisfaction. It isn't joy, but satisfaction is like so much different, so much more fulfilling to me.
Yeah.
You know? So I tried to like get more involved in like, I gotta get some hobbies, you know? So I did. And that's part of why I was in Beaverton. There's this really great recording or practice studio out there called Bongo Fury.
Yeah.
And you know, for a while I was just living in the suburbs and jamming tunes with my buddy all day.
There you go.
Yeah, and it really was. It was super good.
Yeah, it gives you kind of that zen moment where you just, you go outside yourself because you're doing something you love so much.
Yeah. And I'd see that with a lot of dancers who are really creative. Like, a lot of these girls are artists. And they
absolutely
really work on it. Or they're trying to get apprenticed at a tattoo shop, or they're going to school for it, or whatever. And it's like, yeah, to turn that into something that you can, a lifetime career. You know what I mean? Because you don't see many 60-year-old strippers. But you might have in your time. Well, I didn't. I would love to. Point them out to me, and I'll
60's pushing the boundary there. Yeah. But, you know, there are a few 40-year-old strippers that I know that have held up. They've taken care of themselves super well.
Yeah.
They're absolutely beautiful, and they're old school. They're great performers. Like, that's what they do. They don't just go up there and shake their ass.
Yeah.
And then, you want to buy a dance?
Yeah. The hustle. I don't want to call it the cheap hustle. What is it? The easy hustle? No. You know what it is, though. It's the standard, like, it's stripping 101. Like, if a girl walked in and was like, I don't know how to strip. How do I do this? Shake your ass and then go ask for a dance. You know what I mean? That's the basic hustle. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The performance art, though, I really came to have a deep respect for. There was a girl that I saw pull some stuff out that I had never seen before. So when I had a group of friends come by on the weekend when she was dancing, I was like, no, that's the girl. Go sit down for this. And I told her, I'm like, dude, you got to do that thing I saw the other day. Where she would flip up, climb up the pole, and then she would do this like Indian style squat, like, you know, cross-legged thing on the ceiling. And then just drop, just do this like dive bomb to the ground. And you know the trick where they stop a couple inches away and you're like, dude, damn, take all my money. That was amazing. I want to see some Cirque du Soleil shit.
Right.
You know?
And that's, you know, I think that's where the difference in a stripper and an entertainer is.
Yeah.
You know, a stripper is going to show your boobs. She's going to show your butthole for a dollar.
God bless them.
And there's a market for that. There's guys that don't give a shit what you can do on the pole. I found out that, like, over the years watching, women tend to appreciate pole tricks a lot more than men. They tend to tip better for pole dancers than just floor work,
you know,
shake your butt in my face.
Yeah. Which is funny because there are two kinds of dancers.
Yeah.
You know, there's the performance artist and then there's the hustle, you know, and that is a very distinct type of.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always interesting to watch them cross over. Like, oh, it's a slow night. I'd better make some money.
Right.
You know, switch into hustle mode.
Absolutely. You know, the girls, they put on a face like, and they're actresses.
Yeah.
Hands down. Every day they're at work.
That is one, and I will say to the, you know, the patrons, the gentlemen of the gentlemen's club, one thing I've never done is gone to the club horny. You know what I mean? Whether I was working or going to spend money.
Well, I don't go grocery shopping when I'm hungry.
Exactly. Either. It's the same principle. Yeah. You'll end up with so many bags of shit you did not need.
Yeah.
Whereas at the strip club, you'll wipe yourself out. I have gone with $100 in cash and woken up to $600 debit or debt. And it wasn't because I was horny, but my friends were, and I was like wasted enough to be like, daddy's got the cash tonight. Brutal. Don't ever go horny.
Yeah.
you go to make friends. That's fine. Buy a round. Oh my God. The greatest thing. That does remind me. I was at this club. I don't want to name it. It's in North Portland, near the Sugar Shack, but not the Sugar Shack. I moved into that neighborhood, into Cully, and like 6 months before I moved in there, there was a homicide. Somebody, you know, an argument outside. Some guy tried to step in to intervene, calm things down, and some asshole shot that guy in the head, the mediator. So with that in mind, I walked into that club just to see what it was like. And, you know, that incident, absolutely not on the club for that. But, you know, I wanted to go and see what kind of place this was. And there were a few girls working, all in the thick and above categories. God bless them. First thing that happened, this girl was wearing a scarf, walked up and tied my hands together. And she's like, I got a lot of toys in my car. And I'm like, God bless you. Hustle on, woman. I'm going to go to the bar. So I'm sitting at the bar. This girl comes up, talks to me, you know, working. And I was like, you know, I'll buy you a drink. I'm not in the mood for a dance, but you want a drink? I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't need a drink. You buy me a sandwich, daddy? And I'm like, what? Yeah, okay, sure. I've never done that before. That's a new kink. Let's do this. And so I look at the menu. There's grilled cheese for $2. And she's like, I'm like, what do you want? She's like, yeah, I'll take the grilled cheese. So the bartender walks up. throws two slices of Wonder Bread with a slice of Kraft Single on each piece. Throws that in the microwave for like a minute and a half.
Grilled cheese in the microwave?
Yeah. So Wonder Bread, Kraft Single, microwave. Slaps that together, pulls up some ketchup on a plate, throws that on the bar. Done. This girl is just munching on her grilled cheese. Suddenly all the other girls see four girls come up to the bar. They're like, "Daddy, buy me a grilled cheese." I'm like, "A round of grilled cheeses." So there's five dancers at the bar. That stage has been empty for like 10 minutes. They're all just munching on these just gnarly grilled cheese sandwiches.
And you're out 10 bucks.
Yeah. The best 10 bucks I ever spent. A shot of Patron won't get you there. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? So come to find out this girl's name is Vagitarius.
Oh.
Vagitarius.
Oh, my.
Dude, I stuck by that girl's side the rest of the night, man. She did not need another grilled cheese, but it was so good to talk to that girl. After I heard that name, I was like, here, just have my money.
Yeah.
Just
that's,
take it.
That's pretty damn funny.
Yeah. I love that. That was one of the last experiences I had in that neighborhood. I stayed pretty quiet after that.
Well, how are you gonna top that?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you might as well just not go out anymore.
One of my experiences in Portland is Cabaret 2. Went out there one night. Cabaret, it's the one out toward Gresham.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The 40-foot pole.
Yeah, the 40-foot pole. Yeah. It's like a stadium seating. It's designed for people to not tip. Like, you can sit up in the nosebleeds and watch a stripper on stage. That's fine. Yeah. So I go in there with some buddies, and those girls are hustlers. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all they do. They roam around the floor. You want to get a dance? You want to get a dance? You want to get a dance? Yeah. Like, the third girl that came up to me is like, "You want to get a dance?" I haven't got my drink yet.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, come. But the third girl that comes up, I'm like, "You know what? Hi. My name's Jim."
Yeah.
I reached up and I shook her hand. She told me her name. I went, "Oh, that's nice. If you can tell me my name in 30 minutes, I'll get a dance. Have a nice night."
Yeah, yeah.
She'd already forgotten my name. She wasn't paying attention when I said it.
Yep, exactly.
Because she was looking for the hustle.
Yep.
And, you know, it's quantity over quality at that point. You know, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I went to Vegas a couple months back. The woman and I, and she surprised me by flying my daughter in.
Awesome.
And that was just a phenomenal trip. But we took my daughter to the strip club in Vegas. And so we got, you know, bottles set up. I know the DJ and, like, you know, all the stuff. And it's great. We're having a good time.
Very cool.
So dancers, of course, it's I think it was a Sunday or Monday.
Okay, yeah.
When we're in there, so it's like dead.
Right.
There's 30 people, but huge.
Yeah. That's the weird. They're built like warehouses.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking through one. I'm like, was this a repurposed Walmart or something?
No.
The floor plan is so huge.
Yeah. But so we're sitting there, and these dancers start coming over, and they're talking to my woman. They're talking to my daughter. And I'm fine with them not talking to me because I don't care.
Right. Like, yeah.
This is what I do for a living. I don't know.
I'm at work. Yeah.
And I'm just pouring myself a drink. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm in Vegas. I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And one of them comes over and she sits down next to me. And I was like, "Would you like a drink?" I'm like, "I'll pour you one right now." Boom.
Yeah.
Hand her a drink, and she's trying to chat me up and everything. And about 5 minutes goes by. She looks at me and goes, "So, do you want to get a dance?" I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, here, hold on." And I pulled 20 out. I'm like, "I understand time is money. I get it. I work in a club." I went, "Here's $20 for sitting here and chatting with me for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You got a drink? That's cool. If you want to make money from dances, go talk to those guys over there, because you're not going to get them from me."
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, "Oh, so you're wasting my time? I just handed you $20, you ungrateful bitch."
What?
For 5 minutes.
She
said that
after she got money?
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm like, what the fuck?
You came to me.
Right.
Wow. Ah, God, that attitude won't last long.
Yeah, see, and that's the where the hustle gets retarded.
Give me my drink.
Yeah.
Get the fuck off my booth, lady.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Wow.
What the hell was that? And even with me going in and, like, giving the DJ that was working a hug and dancer seeing that, like, she didn't put two and two together that I'm not the whale.
Yeah. You know what my problem is now that I go into clubs is I go to the DJ and I first I find out if they're in the Bastards Guild, you know, which rest in peace. it's funny that that group turned legit and then shriveled up and died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still there. We just don't, we're, I don't know. We all still know each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're all still working in Portland.
And I see occasional posts, like very occasional posts. And I'm always like, should I quit my job and take this? Nah. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's a lot of shuffling around. But it's, I walk into a club and I'll find the DJ. And if they're in the guild, I'm like, oh, dude. And I'll start just talking about other people that we know.
Right.
And tipping them. I'm like, oh, did you play some Deftones? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and they'll do it. And last time I saw Haas, I can't remember his real name.
Edward.
Okay. So I saw him a few months back. And he had to be like, I gave him so much money. And finally he was like, dude, go tip my dancers. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Good call.
Oh, yeah, they're still here.
That's traditionally done in these establishments. And so, yeah, he put on some Deftones for me. And, you know, that's God's strip club music.
Oh, yeah.
So, I, you know, finally started tipping the dancers. Once, if it's music I like, man, the floodgates open. But I'm not going to tip you to, like, whoever these mumble rap idiots are. Like, and that's just me being an old guy, not understanding new shit, but God, it's terrible.
Oh yeah.
But if you play some stuff I'm into, man, suddenly I am like just burning that money, you know,
fucking Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, exactly. The cab too, though. It's funny that you say that. The last time I was in there a year or two ago, I got a buddy who lives like two blocks away and he throws a barbecue and we were old party buddies, but now he's married. I think I actually match made him and his wife because she knew me and started hanging around when it was six guys in their early 20s living in a house and met my buddy and they got married. So I go over there and it's all my old party buddies and all their families, you know, and I'm like the single dude and
the last man standing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's fun. We're talking to Bunny was there.
You know? Oh, Ben.
Yeah, Ben. Yeah. And so we're all shooting the breeze and everything, and it winds down. People are going home, and I realize my other buddy's there, one of the last, you know, single dudes. And I'm like, dude, let's go to cab. Like, everybody's taking their kids home and wind it down, and let's just go hit cab. So we go over there. The first thing I do is I tip the door guy. He takes our IDs. I'm like, I give him $5. I'm like, dude, this is for just tell me who the most fun girl is tonight. Like, I don't want to blow money on dances. I just want to get drunk. I'll tip this girl, you know, but I just want to have a good time. And so he points her out and I'm like, thanks, man. Solid.
Yeah.
That's what that tip is for. And so I immediately go to that girl. I'm like, hey, let's get a drink. You know, he told me you're the most fun girl here. And so we start shooting the breeze and having a blast. And finally I end up buying dances for my buddy. Cause I'm like, make some money.
Yeah.
You know, and he needs a dance. So, that's the thing, man. If I go into a club, like, I did see a lot of that where, like, old guys will come in, not so much for the skin, but just the companionship.
You know
what I mean? And it's the same reason that, like, squares will go into a bar for the bartender's companionship. You know what I mean? There's a guy who cannot get away, or a pretty girl who can't get away from you. And you can get drunk and talk to them, and they have to respond, right? You know?
As which long as you keep giving them money.
Exactly. Just, which is something you can't even get from your family.
Yeah.
You know? So
they charge higher rates.
Exactly.
I know my family does.
Yeah, exactly. By the hour. But, you know, you see that a lot. And, like, if I go into a club, that's all I really want. Like, who is not going to act like they're at work right now? You know, who's still going to have a good time?
If you come into my bar, I have the perfect one. Just so you know, I have that, like, in my head right now.
Oh, yeah.
Who I would tell you.
Yeah. There is a dancer that you work with who followed me on Instagram before, like, I didn't know who she was, and she followed me, and I looked her up, and I was like, oh, a pretty girl from Deviate. I was like, that was such an ego boost. So shout out to you, lady, you sweetheart. I followed her back immediately. I was like, oh, yeah, still got it. Which is like, sometimes you just need a pick-me-up, you know? Pretty girl's like, hey, follow, which doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Right.
But numbers, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was, it's nice to, you know, because you get tired of those goddamn bots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how many times a day. Dude, I have like 20 friend requests from people who are legit, who I just don't know. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to lose my job over you getting pissed off over something I said.
Yeah, I think I have like 15.
But yeah, the bots.
I won't push the button.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, I don't know you.
And the bots are so easy to spot. It's always some single girl who updated her profile photo 2 minutes ago. And you're like, stop already.
And that's the only picture.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I'm offended not by the fact that they're a bot, but the fact that like, I fit the profile of a guy who would add a sex bot. You know what right. I mean? Like, is that how you see me, internet? Yeah. Do I look that desperate to you that I would add some? They think I'm so stupid that I would see a beautiful single woman with her boobies out wanting to add me the first 5 minutes of her being on Facebook.
Yeah, no, she found you right away.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
It's God's work.
She was looking for me. Yeah, a peach-colored Shrek. In real life.
A peach-colored Shrek. That. So I went to see Primus and Clutch.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a free ticket to that.
So Jesse Lindsay,
yeah.
My first guest.
Mr. Glow Fuck Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to the show, too. And so I'm, you know, things are getting started, and they're playing their intro music, the, you know, Corrosion of Conformity and all that, all the stuff I love.
Yeah.
But they're playing it, but warm people up. And
who was the opener? It was Clutch.
It was Clutch. And then it was Primus. That was the only two bands.
Yeah. Fuck.
It was an hour with Clutch and then an hour and a half with Primus. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But
and God bless them for playing Portland.
Yeah.
A town that hasn't put them on the radio for 10 fucking years.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have a good radio station anymore. So
no, it's brutal.
But I messaged Jesse on my phone. I'm like, hey, man, where are you at? And I sent a picture of where I was. And he's like, I'm down near the stage on the left-hand side near a group of like 15 guys in camo shorts that are balding.
Mm.
And I was like, well, shit, sounds like I'll fit right in.
Yeah.
And he goes, fuck, man, I thought three of them were you.
Dude. People ask me, they're like, Kellen, oh my God, why'd you shave your head? I'm like, you don't understand. This is my least worst look. Like this, it's either this or I look like Tom Peterson's hair decided to just fucking cheat on him. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be bad. I've got a terrible hairline that only, I think was exacerbated by my choice of like, I keep dating girls who wreck me. You know what I mean? And that, I guarantee that sped up the process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, like...
I'm at the point in my life where I wish there was an anti-Rogaine.
Yeah.
You could just rub it on your head
yeah.
and it would stop the hair from growing completely.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to get the stubborn... It's like the... Dude, the hair that's left is like those Japanese soldiers on the islands who still think the war is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, no! Hold the beach, you son of a bitch! Like, no, just get the fuck out of here, please.
Yeah.
What I... The only thing is, like, I shaved my head, and then I hit the beach, no suntan or no sunscreen,
because
I'm like, I gotta burn it, I gotta get it all the same.
Yeah.
The problem is the stubble stays gray, the white goes red, and now I just look ridiculous. I look like that sunburned mango from the commercials. So, if I could just get rid of the gray, the 5 o'clock shadow, just make it all one tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, getting a bald head, a freshly shaved bald head sunburn.
Yeah.
The best part of it is when the hair starts growing back out and the skin's peeling at the same time. So it just like lifts it off.
Yeah.
It's like a full layer.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
It's just like a bald cap. You just peel right
off. You want to peel it off, but it's not ready yet. No. It's not ready. That was the mistake I made. I started to peel it, and I was like, oh, one sheet. And then it felt like my scalp was coming off.
Yeah.
Because that was a learning experience being
scalping is painful.
Freshly bald. But I was at Royal Blood on Thursday before the Primus show. My buddy gave me a ticket to the show, and you work in the service industry, like your biggest night is Saturday. There's no way I can.
Yeah.
That'd be like, I'm still paying $250 to go see Primus.
And like, that's something people don't understand is like, we literally have to give up money to go see any good band because they don't play on Sunday.
Yeah.
They don't play on Monday.
Or if you're taking a vacation, say you take 3 days off, factor in all that lost wages into your vacation and ask yourself would I pay $1,200 to go to Cannon Beach for 3 days?
Right.
You know what I mean?
On top of that, we don't get vacation pay.
No.
Like that's not a thing.
No.
If it is, I want to know what bar.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll put in an application right now.
Oh, can you imagine if one bar just broke the mold? I guarantee they'd be a headliner in like Willamette Week. you know what I mean? When I was young, I was like, yeah, I look like a fucking badass. Brr. And now I'm like people are afraid of me. I'm a fucking badass. I was a stupid teenager. Now I'm like, oh, people are afraid of me. You know what I mean? I was texting a friend of mine because I left work and I forgot something. You know, after you close the bar, it's like 4 a.m. So I turn around and I knock on the door and I'm wearing a hoodie with the hood up and she still jumps. She knew who I was and she was expecting
me. And she knew you were coming.
And she still jumped. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. But the bright side, like the flip side of that coin is I can walk the street any time of day or night and not get hassled by dudes who are trying to fuck me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
our privilege.
Yeah. Which is something like I didn't realize was that bad until I started like talking to like or walking with girls. Like we're just walking down the street passing people and they're like, dude, it is so relaxing to be next to you. Nobody says a fucking word.
Yeah.
I'm like, as opposed to what? It turns out there are rapey fuckers all over the city.
Yeah. You know, you walk 10 feet behind them where the guys don't know that you're with them.
Yeah.
And it's a different scenario.
Yeah.
You get to see it.
So. Yeah. It's brutal, dude. The friend of mine was walking to work and these guys are walking by and they're like, hey, looking good. And she's like, just thumbs up. She's like, thanks. And apparently that wasn't horny enough response. They thought it was going to be like MILF Hunter response or some shit. Mm. And they're like, well, fuck you, bitch. You're not even that hot. So, dude, you got a positive, not even positive, but like a neutral reaction.
Yeah.
Which is better than you can hope for. And you still talk shit. You know what I mean? Now she's just afraid. And fuck you, man. What's your problem? I didn't think that behavior was real. Well, I couldn't imagine that it was real because nobody I know acts like that.
Right. We were raised different.
Like, yeah.
You know,
dude, that's one thing that's kind of depressing is like I spent half a decade in Mexico and those people are the most friendly strangers. Buenos dias. You know, everybody's like smiling and greeting each other on the street. You're across the street from somebody and you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And here it's like you smile, even say, hey, and people just like see right through you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what? I get it that Portland's awesome and it's a hot market right now. Move here, but leave your bullshit at home in California or where the fuck you're from. And just, we're all trying to get along. Just be gentle and nice and fucking jovial. You know what I mean? That whole smile more thing, I get it. It can be annoying when you know people have ulterior motives. But you know what? Like, I'm even saying that to dudes. Just be fucking pleasant with strangers on the street.
Yeah.
Even if it's a neutral response. Like, if you see somebody making an effort with their face, it takes like 3 fucking muscles in your cheeks just to not stare through them. You know what I mean? Like, and that adds up. It all adds up. And the end result is, fuck, dude, maybe you're not miserable at work. Or maybe, like, you know, you don't fucking take your day out on your closest loved one. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's not that much effort to just raise our kindness. You know, and the memes, I get it. The memes are hilarious. Like, the whole, like, don't fucking tell me to smile more memes. But, like, maybe you should tell yourself to smile more. You know what I mean? Like it has an effect. And
but there's, you know, there's a lot of resting bitch face out there.
Yeah. Oh dude, I have a resting bro face. That's my worst problem as I look. That's why people think I'm a fucking conservative. It's like my resting bro face. I look like I'm going to try to get you to fucking drink a roofie colada that I just made.
I look angry. If I'm just thinking about something.
I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I look angry. Apparently my body doesn't like thinking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I try not to do it, but it happens sometimes and I look angry when I do.
Yep.
Half the time that look of anger is nothing more than just me not paying attention to you.
Right. Yep.
You know, and it's not that I'm angry. It's not whatever, but it does get people to leave me alone if I'm ever on the bus.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yep. You know, being a girl on the bus is the shittiest thing on earth.
It's a nightmare, dude.
Like I will never ever understand why people think that it's okay to act the way that they act when there's a cute girl on the bus.
And I just see girls like writing about it. Just like, oh, this just happened on the bus. I'm like, fuck. Every day it's something.
And there's not one decent human being that'll just be like, hey, bro, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up. Go sit down. We're done with you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you tell the bus driver and they're like, I get it if they're dealing with it every day. Like, that shit gets to be much. What are you going to do? Like, even if you arm yourself, what are you going to do? Fucking shoot somebody? No, you're not. You know, and I get it that they don't want to physically confront somebody, who, you know.
Right.
But it's like, all you can do is stop the bus and open the doors and hope they get the fuck off.
Right. Know?
But, or call the cops, and in the 15, 20 minutes it takes them to get there,
they're gone.
Yeah. Or they're trapped in this bread box with a bunch of other squares who are just trying to live. You know what I mean?
Trying to get to work on time.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
I have a hard time with just sitting back and not doing anything.
Yeah.
We had an incident last week at work, and there was a guy and a girl arguing in the parking lot. And I know better than to get involved in domestic shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the life they chose, typically.
The bouncer that was working, he knew better than to get involved in domestic shit. So he just stood there and he watched. Yeah. And that was it. But he called me out. He's like, I just want you out here, be a witness. Dude grabbed her by the face and palmed her face and pushed her back. I don't know what led up to that because it's like right when I was coming out the door.
Yeah.
But that's when it went, nope, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go the fuck away and she's going to drive away.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going to be.
Yep.
I can't sit back and watch shit like that happen and not be like, No, dude, that's wrong. You're being wrong right now.
Well, even if, like, that might be their thing, too. You know what I mean? That might be the way they behave at work or just the way that they behave at home or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, you can try to stop that shit, but chances are, you know, they called each other around the block and, like, he got in the car and they fucking
left. So they actually left together after he almost tried to fight us.
Yeah. But the bottom line for that kind of thing is, like, if that's your thing, so be it, but not fucking here. Get off the property. Go do your thing somewhere. And you're going to separate because I'm not going to be liable for your bullshit, you know? And that's all you can really hope to do. If you see that shit in public, you're like, look, you're going to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And by the peace, you mean your immediate environment is going to be peaceful.
Yeah.
So stop fucking doing that. Go do it somewhere else at the least, you know?
Go get a hotel room and beat each other to death.
Oh my God. One time. Okay, this is a girl that I dated who was became a dancer after we broke up.
You're a bad influence, Kellen.
No, she needed money.
Okay.
And this is one of those reverse situations where first I was supplementing and then I was gone. So she started dancing. This is absolutely not a portrayal of all girls, but this is the kind of girl who was too lazy to work a square job.
Hmm.
It was like, man, I'm too pretty for this. I should just show my boobs for money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You get a lot of
that. Individual. Yeah, exactly. And this is an individual case of that person. But which is why she was an awful fucking stripper, because she thought she was also too pretty to strip. So she started webcamming and then that dried up and then that was over. But
she's just terrible at marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Laziness. It was all laziness. She's allergic to work, but we rented a hotel room to get freaky. And the neighbor in that hotel room called the police because he thought it was a domestic situation of some kind. So the cops show up and they're like, we're going to kick the door down if you don't open it. And I'm like, well, it's not my door. So yeah, okay, I'll open it. So they rush in. She's naked on the bed. They pull me out into the hallway. They're like, all right, why don't you tell us what was going on? And I got the report back afterwards because it wasn't a situation they investigated and they left, but they're like, well, what was going on? And I'm like, we were just, you know, rutting. And he writes it down. He's like, what do you mean by rutting? I'm like, you know, hog fucking. It's in the report, man.
Hog fucking.
Yeah. The whatever they call me, the Mr. Pierce or whatever, indicated that they were in quotes, hog hyphen fucking. Oh, it was awesome.
That was pretty awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming out, Kellen.
Yeah, it was a blast, man. I wish I'd have done this a lot earlier.
Definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If we get to the point where we can, I will start bringing you in. I have three mics and three chairs. And
hell yeah.
We can do, you know, co-host and guest.
Hell yeah.
I was Kellen Brent Pierce here with me on episode 4 of Strip Down Life. If you enjoy the show, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us at stripdownlife.com. If you want to support the show in any way, feel free to go to our Patreon page and donate. You'll get access to things like the live video recording that is unedited of this episode and future episodes. We're going to figure out better rewards for you on there. And as soon as I get those up and going, you guys will be the first to know about them. Thank you again for listening. I'm trying to make this the best show that I can. I couldn't do it without your support and your feedback. Here's to the future. Fuck it.